Right now.
Now you're on.
Okay. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Ches. This is the Pasuk V'Hoya in Perek Aleph. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Ches. V'Hoya B'Yoy Mahu. It will be, but I'm not V'Hoya B'Yoy Zevach Hashem, the day of the slaughter of Hashem. Ufakaditi Al Hasarim V'Yal B'nei HaMelech. I will go and I will visit. I will remember and punish the Sarim. Y'al B'nei HaMelech, we learned this, we just began to discuss it yesterday very briefly, the Sum of the Princes, the B'nei HaMelech, category number two, V'al Kol Halev Shem Malbush Nachui, all those that wear strange clothing. As an expression, reference to people who are close to the Malchus. Those that are close to the Malchus wear clothing that are unique to them, as we discussed, that's part of the Tachsisei Malchus. Pasuk Tesu Fakadati, Al Kol Hadileg Al HaMisan Bayem, who I will punish on those who trespass. Hadaleg means to trespass, violent entry, rioters, people who go into stores without and take out merchandise without paying for it. Lufakadati, I will visit alcohol, hadaleg, al hamiskan, bayam hu, looter. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it says over here? I will punish the people who loot, who skip upon the threshold of the store. Hanamalim base adrehem chomos mirmo, who fill up the home of their master with violence and deceit. Yesterday we learned yesterday the mitzudos David, and we did not even learn the Rashi. Let's now learn the Rashi. The mitzudos David taught us that malbushei nachri is a reference to malchus, people who are close to the king, and they wear clothing that is nachri, that is strange. Nachri here means strange clothing that is designated for the aristocracy. A peasant, an ordinary civilian, would not dare wear the robes and the levush of Malchus. Even today in court, the judge wears a robe. Even in America, where nothing means anything anymore, even there, at least still, the judge, he wears a black robe. I know the Chief Justice, Roberts, Mitrofadaitoi, I don't know what got into him, But they still supposedly wear certain clothing. A baseball player, okay? A baseball player, they wear special clothing. There's a lot to uniforms, and in the secular world, they also appreciate uniforms. You can tell an orchestra, if you go to a wedding, you can tell, you want to tell a high class orchestra is where they make sure the people who play are dressed very well. Years ago, an orchestra at a wedding, the musicians were not dressed. They came in jeans. I don't know if you remember. No, they always came dressed up. It was very shach. They didn't today, yeah. Mark? I can't hear what you're saying. You're on mute.
They used to wear tuxedos. They used to wear tuxedos.
You did?
When I got married.
When you got married, you had a very fancy wedding.
Oh, that's
today,
true.
Today, it's much more of an ordeal. The better orchestra, they buy for their musicians uniforms, and you know, you can make, if you make it chashuv, it's chashuv. If you don't make it chashuv, it's not chashuv. Everything in life is all what you make out of it. But the goyim, and a lot of what you make out of it is wearing a uniform. If you wear a uniform, it totally upgrades the environment, the setting. You have a restaurant and all the waiters really wear the same uniform. Obviously, you know, it creates, I once got into a lot of trouble. I'll tell you what I went with uniforms. I got into a lot of trouble. I said something really, really nasty and I had washed my mouth out. In Chaim Berlin, you know, years ago, the workers, they didn't wear it. They had a lot of workers, all different types of workers, great guys. I was like buddy with these guys. And they were shmatas. They wore t-shirts, jeans, shorts, shmatas. All of a sudden, one day, they decided, no. The workers have to wear a uniform. They bought for all the workers these burgundy shirts. Burgundy, so you can right away spot them a mile away, and it said in big letters, MRYCB. Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Like they were in prison. Like, looked like they were prisoners. They have these uniforms. All the workers, you work in the kitchen, you work, clean the floors, janitor, Baal Malacha, everyone had to wear these burgundy t-shirts. So one day I was talking to one of the people and I suggested, you know, we wear uniforms. I think we should buy for all of the Rosh Yeshiva burgundy kapotes and stamp on the back MYRCB. I have to tell you, that did not go up very well. Okay? They're employees of the institution. They should they have to wear the right uniform, the right color, burgundy with the stamp on the back. What?
The Bachurim are already in uniform. They dress uniformly.
They dress uniform. Bachurim are penguins, right? That's what they say about Bachurim. They look like penguins, black and white. In any event, that is what it's going to move to. This over here, Rashi says, Rashi disagrees, totally disagrees with the parish of the Mitzudais. The Nachri means an oved avodah zarah. Rashi is being consistent with what it says in Chumash. In Chamishei Chumashei Torah, Nachri means a Gentile, an idolater. And where did Rashi get it from? He got it from the Targum, which we'll see in a few moments, okay? Next, Rashi, Pasuk Tes, Adolik Al HaMifton, Tirgim Yonason, B'mahalchin B'ni Moisei Pilishto'ei. Those that step over the threshold, this is another form of idolatry.
Wait, hang on a second. The Rashi you just read, right?
Correct.
It didn't say the worshippers.
Tachshite avodah zarah.
It means
ornaments.
Avodah zarah themselves were dressed up.
Okay. No,
which is different than other Yerushim, but that's what Rashi is saying.
So what are you suggesting? It says here, those who wear malbush nachri, those who wear tachshite, jewelry, avodah zarah, like a cross, someone who wears a neck, a tefillin.
Well,
is that what you're suggesting? We're not discussing the actual law.
Yeah, in fact, that's how it's translated in Judaic press also.
That's how
the avodah zarah themselves are wearing or dressed in.
The avodah zarah themselves are wearing?
It doesn't say the oath day avodah zarah.
Okay, so you're saying it's a regular civilian who's wearing.
No. It's saying that they dress up the idols.
The idol?
Yeah, that's what it seems to say.
Tachshite, the pasuk says. The alcohol and all of those people, haloiv shim, who are dressed, the al seems to refer to human beings. You're telling me.
I'm saying Rashi can be read, and Judaic press, in fact, reads it that way too, as tachshite of the avodah zarah itself.
So you're saying, you're suggesting that when it's the first part of the pasuk refers to human beings.
Rashi's not commenting on that.
But you have to read the words together. The pasuk says.
Maybe people who imitate the garb that the idol was garbed in.
Okay, fine. Okay. But it would appear that the simple reading of the pasuk is we're dealing with human beings. On that day, Hashem's going to wipe out the people. Who are the people? They are Sarim, they are princes. They are Bnei Hamelech. And then there's a third group. It would appear the third group are people, human beings. And the human beings that are being obliterated are people that identify with the idol. They do not necessarily worship the idol. They do not necessarily have the priests who serve in the church, but they definitely identify with the idol. And the proof is they're wearing jewelry that identifies them. When you see a person wearing a tzelem, a cross around their neck, you know that this person is not Jewish or doesn't want to be Jewish.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
And that's the predominant explanation. It's just not everybody agrees that Rashi is saying that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. You're right. Doesn't necessarily mean I accept. Doesn't necessarily mean people who the priests. It means people who identify with avodah zarah. By the way, halacha lemaisa today, if a person has a cross at Salem, that's not avodah zarah. Halacha lemaisa, we only hold a cross, a shesi ve'erev, is an avodah zara only if it has attached to it a person. Okay, if you see a person that's nailed on to a shesi ve'eriv, that has the status of an actual idol, and that has to be destroyed. And if you're in the business, you're not allowed to derive any pleasure from a shesi ve'eriv with a human being attached to it. That is a symbol of, that is mamish avodah zara. Just a shesi ve'eriv, just a cloth, lehalacha, is not called avodah zara. And you're allowed to derive pleasure. You're allowed to be in a business that sells these little things, these things. Okay, so not every symbol of that connects the person to a religion that may be considered avodah zara automatically is that symbol automatically forbidden. Asur behana, are you forbidden to derive pleasure? According to halacha, anything that is an idol you may not derive any pleasure from an idol. You're not allowed to daven in its presence while you can see it. Go to a hospital. Many hospitals or nursing homes or different facilities, they have in the room across. Are you allowed to daven mincha? Are you allowed to go to a chapel? Okay, let's say you go to a chapel. In the chapel, sometimes the chapel is a cross. So what is the cross? Lehalacha. Let's say you're in a business and you sell trinkets. Okay, you sell trinkets and holiday season, January, you know, so people want different, they want different whatever you sell. And on these trinkets, there are these crosses. Are you allowed to be involved in this business? The answer is yes. The only thing that is forbidden is if this symbol has upon it the crucifixion, has upon it a person that has been crucified, which was Yashka. This is in halacha. I don't know, you know, you have to study the whole history and understand all the parts, but the place can have delved down deep into this matter. That is considered to be an actual idol, because in their theology, their religion, they actually worship, they actually ascribe sanctity to a symbol with a person attached to it, because that means that it's the martyrdom of their idol. But just a shesi ve'eriv doesn't mean anything. It's a cross, so big deal. It's a cross. It doesn't have any major many. It's an idea that I am a Christian, so good for you. You fill out a questionnaire. You're Jewish. You're white. You're Hispanic. You're black. You're Chinese. You're European. Whatever. You're Oriental. So you're a Christian. So gesundheit, you're a Christian. What's the problem? A cross doesn't mean anything. Here it says that the people over here, they wore upon themselves the tachshite avodah zara. It would appear they were actually...
I just interject. When I was in high school, the basketball team did not have a home court. So they used to, I don't know if any of you remember this, but they used to play their home games at the old Power Memorial High School, a Catholic high school. And they had the on either side of the gym, they had a big Salem on the wall, just across. And the Rabbanim objected. So we couldn't play our games there.
Okay, I used to go, my sister used to play in a professional orchestra. She's a violinist. And we would go, my mother, my father, we would go with Say Shabbos, I don't know, twice a year, to the Pope Auditorium, the Pope, a Fordham Law School. That's where the performance was. And you think you go to the Pope Auditorium? Ah, the Pope. I don't remember seeing even one cross in the whole play. I'm sure there are. They say at Fordham there's a lot of Catholic law school, but in the auditorium, and in the hallway, in the lobby, I don't remember seeing anything there. But you get ready, you're very scared.
Pope. It was a different Pope.
Pope Auditorium. I think it refers to one of the popes. I don't know which one, but all right. Enough like of the Pope. Let's go back.
I think the only what bothers me about the Pirush Rashi is talking halovshim malbush. I don't, tachshit is not lovesh malbush. It's just, he can say something else. But not malbush to tachshit to call it a malbush is very strange. That's number one. And not only this, he's talking about sarim, bnei hamelech. He's talking about people, not what they look like, what they wear. It's the tafkid shelahem. Lofshim malbush nochi. I remember Rav Ovadia Yosef had like fancy thing with the design here. That all the rabbanim asfardim lafshu bgadim kaele, and the Rambam also, and he wore something like the Arabs, but that's malbush, but not tachshit.
Interesting, right?
I don't know where he got it from.
Right. The chief rabbi of Israel, Ravadi Yosef, and so they're something very unique. They wear a necklace. You have to look at the pictures. You don't see this anywhere.
The whole design, the whole clothes, the robe.
In addition to the robe, and the special turban that only he wears, he also wears only on very official occasions. Now he doesn't wear this every day. Even when he wears the robe, and he wears the turban, he does not wear a necklace. But on some very special occasions, he puts on mamish, like a choshen, like a breastplate. Right. And I think it's the luchos. It's the luchos, and it's amazing because you would say, what is this? Like, it looks like he's competing with the Pope. You know, the Pope wears a big tzelem. I don't know exactly, but this is tradition. This is ancient tradition. There's a whole story about that thing that he has. I once read a long time ago a whole history write up on exactly what is that he's wearing. And very recently there was a ceremony not that long ago where he was wearing it, and it's very prominent. It really, really, it's very interesting, you know. And Ravadi Yosef, he wore it. He wore it. His father wore it every so often, and they machshev it very, very much. By the way, the robe that he wears is unique. The minig is the design on the robe is not the same as his father. So here he wears a robe, and on the robe he has some squiggly lines. They go down the robe. You don't wear the same squiggly lines as your father or your grandfather. Every chief rabbi has a special, unique design.
I'm not sure. I think this is all the remains of the Ottoman Empire, where the Chacham Bashi had a special outfit for the court.
Now, the whole region, the clergy wear these types of garments. I mean, look at the Greek Orthodox, and the Ayatollahs, even though they don't wear images. So it's the custom of the entire region.
Not only Yosef had ktonet pasim. What does it mean? To be different than the others, to be a leader. So he had to have a beged, special beged. Lovshim malbush nochi shehu yeh nikar.
You have to make yourself unique. It's it goes further. Because like I said, if you read up, if I'm not, my memory is correct, that the minig by the Rosh HaMemshala, the Rishon Litzion, okay, the chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi has a special title called the Rishon Litzion. Litzion, and the Ashkenazic rabbi is a different title.
Rav Harashi
versus the Rishon Litzion. And the Rishon Litzion, his garment, his robe, again, the squiggly lines are not the same as his father. And they're not the same as the previous chief rabbi and the previous Rishon Litzion. Why? As Rav Kalman is saying, Malbush Nochri. When you see the robe, you can already recognize who the rabbi is, who is the Rishon Litzion, just by the robe. The squiggly lines are not the same as his predecessor. Even the levush itself, the general levush, the robe, the turban that no one wears, you don't see any other Sephardic rabbi wearing these things. I don't know, maybe I'm not familiar, but my impression is it's unique. Rishon Litzion is the only one that wears this robe and this turban. Even though they're wearing the turban and the robe, they're not the same. Each generation, it's different. Even the turban, it could be that even the turban is a little bit different. You don't, a bedafka don't want to have the same. There has to be a distinction, and that really fits very powerfully with what it says here, Malbushay Nachli, within the Sudais, you should stand out as being unique. Look, on Shabbos, we had this in the Daf Yomi not that long ago. Shabbos, you're supposed to wear, from the Gemara it's pretty clear, different types of clothing. The bang over here, they're making a lot of noise over the outside. I don't know what they're doing, construction. They're doing construction by the Nixon Explorer. I don't know. They put on this machine that's making a lot of noise. Can you still hear me? Can you still hear me? You hear the background noise also? No, you don't hear it? Okay. All right, hopefully you won't hear it. But on Shabbos, there is a principle that on Shabbos you should wear Malbush Nochri. What do you mean Malbush Nochri? Not just better clothing. We don't really wear today big day Shabbos. What do we consider today, the average person in this world, does he consider to be big day Shabbos? Something nicer. During the week, I wear a suit. I wear a shirt and a jacket. So on Shabbos, I wear a white shirt, or I wear a different type of shirt or different colors. Or on Shabbos, during the weekday, I wear a blue. On Shabbos, I wear black. I wear gray. It's all the same. A jacket is a jacket. Why is it called Bidei Shabbos by us? It's nicer. It's more expensive. It's a certain color which fits into the color scheme of Shabbos.
What Shabbat?
But that's not correct. Me'ikar hadin from the Gemara. This was the Daf Yom Long. This was the Daf Yom Long 2 days ago. Me'ikar hadin on Shabbos, you're supposed to wear not better clothing. Different clothes.
It's miyuchad for Shabbos.
Right, but now it's not just, oh, during the week I wear a jacket that costs $100, and on Shabbos I wear a jacket that costs $200. No, on Shabbos you don't wear a jacket. On Shabbos you wear something different. A frock. You wear it's not in society called the same garment you wear during the week. It's different garments. That is the real big day Shabbos. And you see by certain segments of society, during the weekday they wear a jacket, and on Shabbos they wear a frock. What happens if you wear a frock on Shabbos? Then what are you on during the weekday? Let's say you're Russian, you wear a frock, so it's a problem. If you really want to be makhlid on halacha, if during the weekday you're wearing a kapata, so what are you wearing on Shabbos? They wear a bekeshah. Okay, they wear. I know. In Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Shiva, on Shabbos, there's also Rav Hutner. During the week, he wears a kapata because the Rosh Shiva wears a kapata during the week. On Shabbos, he does not wear a kapata. I don't know what he wears, but it's something totally different. It's like silk. There are no slits. There are no slits in the garment. I don't know. I'm not familiar with all these type of garments, whatever they are. But it's a different type of garment. During the week, he wears an up hat, right? An up hat. Rashi wears an up hat. On Shabbos, he wears this. I don't know what this is. A furry hat. It's not a spud. Because I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it's a different type of hat. Because
Rav Hutner on Shabbos used to wear a silk kapata. At least that's what I remember. It was a kapata, but it was in silk. And in the week that... What? Yes.
There were slits?
Yes, it had a slit.
Okay, I don't think Rav Aaron Shach...
It had a slit, and what do you call it? And then on Shabbos, later on, he wore a spadik on Shabbos.
Right.
Before that, he wore on Shabbos a velvety hat.
Right. So why is that so? Because it's not just that on Shabbos you wear something more expensive, something fresh, something new. On Shabbos you wear something different. Like it says here, a Malbush Nochri. The principle of Malbush Nochri carries over in many, many different examples. And here you have a comment, you very much prefer what it says here in the Mitzvah Shabbos, that there are people here in society who distinguish themselves by wearing different type of clothing. We also do that to a degree where we wear different types of clothing to distinguish ourselves during different events. A chassan wears, some they wear a tuxedo. a tuxedo is not the same type of garment as a regular suit. It's a levush nachri. Even, as he said, the Rishon LeZion, they wear a levush nachri even to distinguish themselves from their predecessor. Okay, let's go to the next Rashi. Next Rashi says, Hadoleg al Nifton. So according to the Mitzvah, this refers to people who are ganoven, people who enter into your home illegally and they steal. He learned Tigger Yenison, the Mahalkin, the Mose Pilishtoe. Now, the Nimus means in the custom. In the Pilishtim are obviously the Goyim. Oyjava the Zara, Shlohoyu Dorchim al Nifton Dogoyim. They did not step on the threshold of Dogon. Dogon is an idol. This is the idol of the Pelishtim. In the story, when the Pelishtim captured the Oroin, to Mishvah Oroin, the time of Churban Shiloh, where did they put the Oroin? In the church of Dagon. Dagon comes from the word fish. It sounds like some type of mermaid. I don't know. Maybe the mermaid thing came from Dagon.
It was half a man, half a fish.
Yeah,
half man, half fish.
They lived on fishing. They're a coastal area, so they worshipped
the god of the sea. I mean, they invented this god called Dagon, which comes from the word dog, and that was their idol. When they captured the Oroin, so they felt that it was their god that overpowered Hashem. So to show, to give honor to their god, they put the Oroin Hashem in front of Dagon. They came back the next day, and Dagon smashing was on the ground. A miracle happened, and the Dagon collapsed. They tried it again, same thing happened. They got scared, and they sent back the Oroin. They sent it back to the hemorrhoid. The whole story that everyone knows, they sent the Oroin back to the cloudy soul with the Poroin. The whole story. Any event,
the hands of Dagon and the head were on the threshold.
It fell
right there. So that's why Al Ken Lloyd Rehu Kohanim Al Amiftan. Because his hand was there.
So it goes back to that story. This passage is taking us back, maybe that's what we can imagine. We have to finish. That because it collapsed on the thresholds, in that night when the Oroin was captured, in the time of Eli HaKoyin died, Churban Shiloh. At that time, Dagon, they put the Oroin in the church of Dagon. Dagon collapsed, and when Dagon collapsed, he collapsed on the thresholds, and they looked at it as the threshold as being, They ascribed to the threshold a bad omen. Because their Dagon collapsed on the threshold, they didn't want to ever step on the threshold of the church of Dagon because they remember it of what happened to their idol. And that's what it means of Jim Koyja Rashi, talking to the Mahalchim, the Moshe Pulishtoi, Shlohoyu Darchem Al Nifan Dagon. They did not step on the threshold of Dagon, Shememar. Al Kain, Lo Yudrichu, Kohani Dagon, they did not step on the threshold because they were paranoid over what happened to their god that it collapsed on the Dagon. And that's according to the parish of Rashi. Obviously, this is not what it says in the Siddur. Now, let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Chet. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to assume you have it. If not, I'll explain it because it's going to take too long to put it up on the screen. We are now coming to calculate who will be executed on this day of reckoning. Now, first thing we have to understand, appreciate, is that the Radak is telling us the ones that are going to die are the Jews. From Rashi and from the Mitzvot David, it doesn't say that the people that are dying are Jews. It doesn't say that. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's not really true, because the previous Sukkim do discuss the Tzadikim, the Rishayim, All right, so let's take that back. Let's assume they're also referring, but according, the people that are going to be dying over here are royalty, members of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is going to punish those, the kings. The Malchus, they're going to die. The people who are the family of the Melech of Yisrael will die. The Alchah Halach Shemalvus Nachli. Hamamunim, Meyes Hamelech, Hayel Lohem, Malvushim, Mitsuyonim, Ninak Hasadim, Shel Hoamim, Hasimuchim Lohem. Like we said, people who wear uniforms, all the members of the royal house who wear special garments, special uniforms, they're going to die. Next one, of the Radak. Shalom. What happened over here? No, I apologize to you. I just read by mistake, I'm sorry, the Malbim. I read by mistake the Malbim. I read the wrong commentator. I'm going back again. I'm reading again another Radak. All right, so the Radak says, okay, the correct version of the Radak is Hashem is going to punish the kings. He's going to go, why? Because they are the oppressors. They are the extortionists. They have robbed the common man. And the example he gives, what are we referring to? The 10 sons of Sidkiyahu. Sidkiyahu HaMelech, the last king in Klal Yisrael. He was the 21st king. We to discuss this. He told me it's not correct, but if we have to go back and make the calculation, there were 21 kings. According to what it says, what I saw, there were 21 kings in the Malchus of Yisrael. And there were 21 kings in the Malchus of Yehuda. I know you look on the charts, it might come out 22, but you have to really understand who's really counted as a Melech. 21 for a total of 42. How many times does Hashem's name appear in Tillim? 42. 21 times in Tillim Shel Yad, 21 times in Tillim Shel Rosh. The Tillim Shel Yad corresponds to the Malchus Yisrael. The Tzilin Shel Rosh corresponds to the Malchus Yehuda. Okay, there are 21 kings, 21 kings. Mark, I see you turn to page 515. 915, the back of the chart, 21. They had 21 kings. It's not a coincidence that in the Tzilin, Hashem's name appears exactly 21 times. I once said a drush that my great-grandfather was the Reish Rav. I have the history book of Reisha, Rezhinov. Rezhinov is an old city in Poland. Very rich, long history. And it has a record of all of the rabban. They had a chief rabbi. You know how many chief rabbis there were until it was destroyed? Until Juden reign? You know how many kings there were? How many rabbanim there were? 21. There were 21 rabbanim, official chief rabbis, since the founding of Rezhinov until the Korban Holocaust. My grandfather was the 21st. He was the 21st rabbi. He was the last rabbi of Rezhinov. And his father, Rav Nachman, was the 20th. I went to the whole drasha talking about the Korban of Reisha. And I was comparing it, not comparing, just mentioning in passing, is that in the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, there were 21 kings. 21 kings in Yehuda, 21 kings in Yisrael. And the last of the 21 kings of Yehuda was Sidkiyahu HaMelech. And Sidkiyahu HaMelech had 10 sons. And Nebuchadnezzar murdered all 10 of his sons. Chazal said, I saw this somewhere. I don't remember where I saw this. And Chazal tells Nebuchadnezzar, after he murdered his 10 sons, he blinded Sidkiyahu. He poked out his eyes. And he took him down with him to Babel. He took him down to Babel, and he was blind. How did he blind his eyes? Isn't that cruel to blind someone's eyes? To take spikes and to poke out someone's eyes? I read And one of the commentators, that the way he blinded his eyes, he didn't touch his eyes. He murdered his 10 sons in front of him, one after the other. And the pain in seeing a child be murdered in front of a father is so painful. The tears, the bitter tears that came out of his eyes caused him to become partially blind. And when it was up to killing the 10th child, the agony and what the horror of what his eyes saw, that is what blinded him. So it doesn't mean that Nebuchadnezzar actually took a spike and poked out his eyes. What it means is he committed the ultimate crime of murdering his 10 children in front of his eyes. That is what made him blind. And that's what it says here in this passage. This pasuk says, the sarim means other kings. Which kings? I guess the king, who is Yehoram. Which king? It was the king that was taken down. I don't remember the name. But one of the kings was taken, Nebuchadnezzar. He took one of the kings into exile and died on the road. And he threw his body like a donkey, like a horse. He just threw the body onto Yehoiakim. I don't remember all my mach, got everything. He took the king, he exiled one of the kings of Yehuda after he became Melech. That was like 18 years before the Korban. He took him, he put him in a chariot to take him down into exile as a political prisoner to Bavel. And on the way down to Bavel, he got sick and he died. So what do you do with the body? The body smells. The body is decaying. They're in a chariot. There's not an El Al airplane where you can go and you can take the body into the basement of the plane, the belly of the plane, and you'll be there in any way in a few hours. There's a long ride. It takes months to get to Babel. So there, who cares? They took his body and they threw it on the side of the road like a horse, like a dead horse. What a bizarre to do to the body of a descendant. The Melech of Yehuda, a descendant of David HaMelech, a descendant of Rus HaMoaviah. That's how you handle his body. You take his body and you just dump it on the side of the road. Well, that's what he did in Nebuchadnezzar. And then what else did he do? It says here, the B'nai HaMelech, but Adak says this refers to the 10 sons of Sitkiyahu. Next, then it says further in the in the Radak, Bialka Lovshim Alvushim Nachri Perish Adoni Avizal. I'm reading the Radak. Radak says that my father says, Kshahayim Rayim Lushum Adam Shayilam Kaychalav Malvushnoe. When they would see, when these evil people would witness a person, Shahayilam Kaychalav, if he came across a person walking down the street and he was wearing a very nice garment, but he was physically weak. So what would the wicked man do? They would steal the garments. So that's what it means in the pasuk. We have now a third translation. We're referring to ganavim. We're referring to thugs. They walk down the street and they see a person wearing a very nice shirt. So they just say, sir, give me your shirt. If you don't, I'll kill you. And the person takes off his shirt, and the thug puts on the shirt, and he walks down the street with a beautiful garment. That is who we are referring to. We're not referring here to, according to the Radak, people who are members of the aristocracy. We're not referring to people who are wearing tachshitei avodah zarah. We're referring to a thug, to a tyrant, to a wicked ganav who walks down the street and sees a vulnerable person and steals his clothing and puts it on. He's now wearing upon his body malbushe nochri. It doesn't belong to you. The shirt on your back is not your property. It's strange to you. You did not pay for it. Then he quotes Chacham Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, Zal Perish Malbush Nach, Kineged Kol Ha'am, Derech Geus. Shelo yilbash adam ki malbushehem. Unbelievable shot. This is off over the top out of the ballpark home run what he says. The word Malbusha Nahu means the average person in society. We discussed it yesterday, 2 days ago. We had a whole discussion about this. The Kalosha Malbusha Nahu means the average guy in the street. What are you wearing? I'm wearing a jacket, a white shirt, tie, black hat. Wearing a black hat? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You are deserving to wear a fedora? You're deserving to dress up like a Ben Torah? Really? Let's review your Seder Hayom. Let's review if you had a kavanah doing davening, if you made brach. Let's go through the day and let's see where you're holding. And after you analyze the average person, you're a phony. You're full of garbage. You don't deserve to be wearing a black hat. You see the janitor here in the shul? He's wearing jeans. He's wearing some type of thick, a shirt. He's just wearing a t-shirt. That's what you should be wearing. Because that type of clothing represents a segment of society, and that's you. Who do you think you are? You think you're such a chashuv person to wear rabbinic garb? The police department, we always have a complaint against the Orthodox community when they come to a crime scene or to an accident. They want to speak to a rabbi. We need to speak to who is in charge here. We need to speak to an authority. And the complaint is to when they have a liaison with the community, they say, everyone's a rabbi. Everyone's a rabbi. We come to an accident scene and everyone is dressed in a jacket and a hat, and everyone is the rabbi. How could everyone be the rabbi? There's only one rabbi. When we go to an accident in a church, so there's the galach, there's the priest, there's the bishop, there's the cardinal, it's very obvious who's in charge. When we go to the Orthodox community, we can never, ever figure out who's in charge.
Because no one is in charge. If everyone is in charge.
Exactly. Everyone thinks they're in charge. Why? And why is it so hard? Because everyone is dressed up like the rabbi, right? There's no, the rabbi wears the same clothes as everyone else. So he writes over here, the Ibn Ezra, something shocking. All of you people, you're a bunch of phonies. Hashem is going to bring punishment upon the princes, okay, because they're ganavim, upon the Bnei HaMelech, they're extortionists. And upon the common man, you know why? Because the common man is wearing clothing that he should not be wearing. The common man makes believe he is what he is not. That's how the Ibn Ezra learned shot in the past. Four perushim to something so simple, something that is so innocent, but yet it's so complicated. Levshem Abushay Nahu, either number one, right, the Mitsudai. It means aristocracy, clothing of the Malchus. Number two, Rashi wearing Tachshite Avodah Zarah. Number three, from the first parish of the Radak, people steal the stolen goods. You're wearing stolen goods. Who gave you this suit? Where do you have a polo suit, purple label? Where'd you get that from? It's because you broke in. You're a looter. You broke into a department store and you pulled it off the shelf. That's called Mabusha Nachu. And perish number four means the common man who gets dressed up with clothing because he wants to make an impression that he is a certain type of person that he is not.
Further, take a look at Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhansi.
Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhansi, I'm looking here. I don't. Malbush, Rubosh, Ish, Simlas, Ish. Ooh, okay. The Ish are together. Derech Ahavim Uznus. Okay, parish number five. Ish Nachri, a man is wearing women's clothing and a woman is wearing man's clothing. What's the ikotam? What's the reason why the Torah says, Leilbash Gever Simlas Isha? We don't appreciate this. It's very hard for us to relate to this. It's because you want to do Znus. A person, I don't really have clarity what this really means exactly, but it was like a stimulant. When a man would put on women's clothing, he would stimulate himself, arouse his taiva to be with an isha. It was certain type of fantasy playing with his mind. That's what the man should not get dressed in women's clothing, because you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to go arouse yourself for a rise, for illicit relations. That's a no-no. So a man should not put on women's clothing, and a woman should not arouse herself by putting on man's clothing. That's the ikur tam. We don't look at it like that. Yes, the average person, why is the man not allowed to wear women's clothing? The first thing that comes to mind is because the Torah likes order. Seder. A man is supposed to be a man and a woman is a woman. No mingling. Like a mechitza. We don't go into depth. At least I never really looked at it like that. Man wears men's clothing. A man should not wear woman's clothing. Why? I never really know anything about it. Why? It's like because the men are on this side of the mechitza and the women are on the other side of the mechitza. I remember many years ago, I was in Boston, and I went for a simcha, and my niece, and we went to a bris. We came to shul very early. I got put on my tefillin, and I was all ready to daven. It was probably half an hour before davening. And my niece, she must have been maybe 4 or 5 years old. She was sitting there with me, and I was sitting there in the ladies section of the shul, before davening started, waiting, whatever. And she was very disturbed. She was like 4 or 5 years old, little children, you know, very careful, little children. She says to me, the people who built this shul made a rule that the men are on that side and the women are on this side. See, a child's mind is very delicate. You teach children things, they take it very seriously. The people who built this shul made a rule. The rule is, you don't belong here. What are you doing sitting? Excuse me, it's not davening now. We haven't started davening now. And so what? I'm sitting here in the ladies' section. But in their mind, there's a rule is a rule. It doesn't matter whether it's the middle of the night, whether it's the middle of davening. The men are on this side. I'm right now violating the rule. Good kid, right? That's a good kid. So when you look at women wearing, that's how I always look at it. Hashem said, men, you wear your clothing. Women, you wear your clothing. The one who made this world made a rule. The men wear men's clothing, and the women wear women's clothing. Right? That's how I look at it. I'm very, very simplistic, very simple look at it. No, that's not the pshat. I mean, there must be something to it, but the ikur pshat in the pasuk is, everyone says it's a stimulant. A man is looking for trouble. He's looking to arouse himself. He wants to arouse himself. Taiva. He wants to have a good time. So how does he arouse himself? When everything else already, he tried everything else already, and he's already bored of all the ordinary. He went to the beach already enough times. So now he's looking for another way to stimulate himself. Oh, I'm going to wear women's clothing. And that's going to arouse me. And then I'll go find an isha and do an aveira. And a woman, the same exact thing. That's the ikertam. That's the primary reason why the Torah says don't wear women's clothing, men. And that's what it says. Oh, finally, they turned off the machine over here, finally.
That's what Beis Shammai says in Gittin. And Beis Shammai says this, that's his thought process about mixed swimming. He says a man is not supposed to go swimming where a woman goes swimming. That's the reason, he says.
Arousal.
Not separate. Separate hours is no good. He says if the woman goes swimming in this pool, you can't go at another time where she goes. Because that's what
you're going to think.
Women were there.
The mind exactly. Is very delicate. It really is. Okay, so that's what this is Gvalda, Eliezer, Mibozhan C. Did I say that correctly? Mibozhan C. It took me years to learn how to say that. He says here, Maldushe Nochri means the fifth shot changing clothing. Okay, let's go further in Radak. Radak over here says, Kenegat Kol Am Derech Geo Shloyu Basharim Kimalbushe. Now, the Yesh Mepharshim, then he goes and quotes Rashi. Rashi says it means do not wear the clothing of Avodah Zarah, Maldush Avodah Zarah. Now he goes to the Targum. The Yonah from here again, the Alkol Dimistrak Shin Meniflach Litavasa. All those that have an urge to worship idols, a sick shot. It's not what Rashi says. It's the Alkol Dimistrak Shin. They have a sensation, a regesh. Lemivlach, which appears to be the same exact thing as Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhan see, a stimulant, but a stimulant for Avodah Zarah. In other words, we don't understand what this means because we do not today have a Yetzer Hara to worship idols. But just try to cross line. A person today has a Yetzer Hara for a woman. A healthy man has a Yetzer Hara for an Isha. And let's say a person is nichshol in arayos. If he's nichshol so many times, he does the avera so many times, he gets burned out. So we need the stimulant to get worked up back in the do more averas. It's like an addiction. A person has an addiction for what he's doing, but the problem is he did it so many times. He doesn't have the taiva. The taiva has been burned out, so he needs to rejuvenate the taiva so he wears women's clothing. It appears that by Avodah Zarah, it's the same exact thing. A person, he bows down to a stone. He has some pleasure, which we do not relate to in our time. A pleasure, oh, I bow down to a stone. Wow, what a satisfaction. He does it again, 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 again. And then his Yetzer Hara is burnt out. But I'm addicted. I have to have that pleasure of bowing down to the stone. I need arousal. So on the radio, they don't have a special drug for this. For arousal, for these things. So what does he do? He puts on the clothing of the Pope. He gets dressed up like the Pope. So now when I get dressed like the Pope, oh, now it rejuvenates my taiva to bow down to the stone. Okay, it's the same exact idea that Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhan see is saying when it comes to Noshim, it appears that the Targum is saying the same, both to their Misrakshim, they have a regesh, a yearning. Maybe I'm saying this wrong, maybe I'm just saying it's just a sign of love, a sign of regesh, love for idols. Who wears a tzelem? You have to ask yourself. You see some people on the news, they wear a tzelem. Like now, the press secretary of the President of the United States, this woman, she has a pisk, she has a mouth. Woo. She's like just up his alley. You see why he selected her. She's always wearing a tzelem. You notice that? She's always wearing a tzelem. Very good. What's wrong? She's wearing a tzelem. She has religious values. So people who wear a tzelem, it shows they wear it on their sleeve. Ah, they have a regesh. They're passionate about idolatry. People who are passionate about Avodah Zarah, Hashem says, they have to leave. They have to be dismissed from this world because they're a threat to all of us. The misdirection, is that what he means in the Targum? Maybe that's what he means. It means people who wear these clothing, it's a sign their panemius is coming forward. It shows their passion about Avodah Zarah. Or maybe it means, as I just said before, that it's similar to la yilbash gever simas isha, that a man should not wear the garment of a woman because it is a technique of arousal. Maybe when it comes to Avodah Zarah, people would arouse themselves by wearing the garments of the koimrim in order to do more Avodah Zarah. Maybe, yeah, maybe not, who knows. Obviously, wearing a uniform obviously does the chitzonius or the primius, soldier. A soldier in war, you wear a uniform. The uniform you wear, it does something for you. It creates an impression. It puts you in a different frame of mind when you wear your uniform. Okay, there are a lot of stories like this. There's a story in the concentration camp in Auschwitz. I remember the story where a person every day he would get dressed up. Every day he would get dressed up in his uniform. He had with him his uniform. He was a prisoner of war, but he had his, he was a very high-ranking officer, And every day he would put on his uniform. But the story sticks to my mind. And this other fellow prisoners, they said, Meshugana, what are you doing? You're nothing. Maybe back in the good old days, in where you came from, you were a commander, you were a colonel, you were, who knows you. But here you're nobody. You're just like all of us peasants. You're a prisoner. You're a piece of garbage. What are you putting on your uniform for? So he says, I have to maintain my dignity. I need a few days to reflect who I really am. I'm a general. I'm an Adam Kosher. It happens to be now that these Mishugoyim here, they put me in a dungeon and they're torturing me. But if I don't connect to who I really am, I would have been dead long ago. I would have given up. I would have committed suicide. I would have allowed myself to die. It's only because every single day I put on my uniform and I put on all my medals and my stripes that my dignity is restored. That's what gives me the courage, the strength to continue to persevere in this dungeon and continue. There's a lot to wearing a uniform, my brother said. There's a lot. It really creates, it does something for you. It definitely does something for a person. Okay, let's go further. Then the next words over here are, where am I reading from? I'm on the wrong page. Okay, that was the targum. Now we'll go to Pasuk Tes. I'm continuing the Radak. The Radak in Pasuk Tes says, "Ufakadati al kol hadolik al hamiftan." So far we only had two perushim. It means extortionists, people who are ganovim, not ganovim, and the people who are worshippers of Digon and will not step on the threshold superstition. They're superstitious as to stepping on the threshold. Who knows what's going to happen to them? Perish Adoni Avizal al Avde Hasarim Oy al Naare Hamelech Unusach Acher Naare Hasarim Oy al Avde Hamelech Shachoyu Roim Bveis Ani Chetet Shiach Meduru Shun Noeh. These young men would look inside someone's home. They would see a beautiful object. He comes to the Bveis Ani Bemrutza Vezehu Sheidalek Al Miftan Bveis Ani. So far he says Miruv Chefsam Lekachtoi Viyaviu Unsoi El Adonaihem. Period. So far the Radak in its first interpretation tells us exactly what the Mitzudot started said. People who steal, they skip over the threshold. It's nothing more than an expression that they're very swift. They're very swift to come into someone's house and steal property that does not belong to them. Then he goes on to say, Ve'achocham, Rebbe Avraham Ibn Ezra, Perush, Al-Miftan, Beis Adonaihem, Meroiv Simchosam, Sheboim Lemalei, Beis Adonaihem, Chamos Mirma. Okay, that's pretty much the same thing. Well, that's a continuation. The Yoinason tier game. Yoinason says, "Al kol dim halchin b'nimosei pilishtoe." Rashi quoted this. Means people who go in the ways of the Pelishtim. The Pelishtim had an idol called Digoin. Roitzalaymar shelo hayu darchem al hamiftan shel beis avodah zarah kivol ham pelishtim shenemar bochem al kein lo yidukul kohani dagoin v'chol haboim beis dagoin al miftan dagoin. Okay, that's exactly what Rashi said. So far we're two for two. Uvidrosh, and in the medrash, Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shemer b'shul barav yitzchak matzil shachniru yisrael b'avodah zarah yoyser mu'uma yisraelam. Be'uma yisraelam k'siv al kein lo yidukul kohani dagoin. They did not step. Avol b'Yisrael k'siv ha-doyleg al ha-niftan. This is shocking. You know what he says over here? The Jews who converted to the religion of the Pelishtim, who became worshippers of Digon, so they taught you the rules. The rules are, if you're a member of the Digon club, Digon ontology, what's the rule? The rule is you don't step on the threshold. You just, you know, when you walk, you put your foot over the threshold. So the Jews said, we're going to be machmir. We're not just going to step over. We're going to jump. We're going to jump over. We're going to run over. And this is very painful for a Jew, not only for him to convert to another religion, but to improve and to be machmir in the new religion more than the goyim or machmir themselves. It's just like what's going on right now out there in the world. Okay, there are people out there in the world. Someone told me I should be more gentle with these people. I don't know. I was once mugged by a black. Okay, I haven't even thought of that. I haven't even remembered that for years. And now when all of this is going on, all of a sudden it came back to me, the memory. You know, I tell you, Richard, I honestly don't even know what color a person is. I deal with people. If you're a nice person, I love you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're black, you're a Mexican. I have no problem with anybody. If you're a nasty person, I hate you. Even if you're from Shomer Shabbos, you want to be nasty to me, I don't want to know from you. These people ruin me. Watching and reading all this garbage this last 2 weeks really ruined me. It made me into a racist. It really did. I walk on the street and when I see someone of color, I wouldn't even register. I see someone, hey, hello, good morning. I don't even register. Now, all of a sudden, I notice, hey, you're not white. What are you thinking in your mind? These people ruined me. They made me into a racist. I'm not joking. It's terrible. Okay, then I have these memories, and all of a sudden, these memories, I was mugged, and this one was mugged. Now, we weren't mugged by whites. We were mugged by, you know who. Yeah. I mean, come on. And here, we have over here the liberals, the more machmir. They're whites. No, but they want to identify. Today in America, you can identify with anything. The murder gazach. Just to identify. You are what you identify with. We used to say as children, you are what you eat. If you eat chazer, you're a chazer. If you eat dog meat, you're a dog. Now it's a niadin. You are with what you identify. Ah.
You're right, Rabbi. These people nowadays, they are intensifying the whole racist division between people. This is what the result is. That's what it is.
No one asked them. Who asked you? Okay, so you want to have Rahman? Good, okay. So you have Rahman, you want to kneel? Fine. What do you go weiter? You're more machmir. They never chalom zach that New York City would take away $1 billion from the police department. To these people, when they rioted, when they had a complaint that someone was a victim of a murder, they call it, no, we did it. We're more machmir than them.
And why'd you clap for Al Chait? Michael, why did you clap Al Chait for?
this is a terrible thing. And you know where they got it from? They got it from the Jews.
That's what they're doing.
Because it says here by Digon, it's exactly what we did. We joined Digon, it says here in the pasuk, we became members of Digon, the Digon society, and we were even more machmir. They just don't step on the threshold. We're going to jump over the threshold. We're going to go more machmir. It's a sickness. It's a sickness of the human condition. When you want to identify with something that does not belong to you, you go even to a greater extreme. Okay, that concludes the Radak. Now, what time? Another system. Let's do a little bit of the Malma. Let's see how far we get the Malma. We want to move ahead. The Malma is pretty short. The Malma is very, very short. So we'll do the Malma and then we'll stop. Pasiches. The Chaya B'yam Zevach Hashem Chayshev Mishayari B'zeres. We did this. I'm going back to the Malma. It's pretty short. V'kayim Ti'al Atzan V'yal B'nei Amelch Shoyfim Yahar G'tchilu B'golos Yichon Yiv Yakach B'golos Yikiyahu. If they're going to die first. That refers to the aristocracy. That's exactly what it said in the Mitzvah. So the Malm over here has not really said at least openly any major chidushim. He's repeating the Mitzvah David. Then I'm turning to the next page. Okay, it's very short. For Kadati, I'll call Adonik Galamifan. Hey, Mishar Se Hasadim. They are the servants of the princes. The Amar Bahatsala Kumosha Koyane Polishim Dolgu Al Hamniston Ace Hohu Lumokam Neurolohem. When it went to a place that is frightening, came Dolgu Bivoyam Lebes Adonahem. And he's saying over here something a little bit that is a little more complex. The servant of the princes. One more time, the word. The Omar, Bahalotza. Halotza means it was an expression. Kimo, just like Shekoihane Pelishtim. The priest of the Pelishtim, Dolgu al Hanifton. They skip over the threshold, Eith Tolhu Lumokoim, Noelohem. When they went into the church, they jumped over the threshold. Cain, Dolgu, Bevoyam, Lebes, Adonayam. We're also going to step over the threshold and come to our master. According to the Haim, the Malam, based on the name of Hamas and Nimma, Kihaim, Hashay, Trimla, Hashay, Kulachama. According to the Malam, he appears to learn different than the Radak. From the Radak, you get the impression that the Jews actually became worshippers of the God. They converted. They converted. They now, we are members of the Zigul society, and we follow all the laws of the Pelishtim, and they do this how they worship. We're going to do the same thing, we're doing better. The Malam does not seem to say, the Malam seems to say is that the Jews never ever became members of the Digon society. However, they adopted in their corrupt own society the Minhagim of Digon. There's no expression, they said, whatever the Goyim do, the Jews do. There's an expression in Yiddish that what the Goyim do, the Jews do. The Goyim, or the truth really is that the Goyim copied everything from the Jews, but we don't really know. We don't really can't really figure out who came first.
The word is Azayi Sekristelzach Azayi Dishtes.
Oh, say that again. Say that slowly.
Azayi Sekristelzach Azayi Dishtes.
The way the Goyim behave, that's how we behave.
I don't know what that is.
That's the pshat here in this pasuk. That's what it means here in this pasuk. The Jews. They worship their masters. They were loyal, like an Avodah Zarah. The servants, they worship their masters, and they wanted to show their loyalty to their master by borrowing from the customs of Avodah Zarah. When a goy goes to church, he doesn't step on the threshold out of respect. This is a goy shemina. When you go to church, you don't step on the threshold. You have respect for the Avodah Zarah. So when the Jew walks into his master's house, when the Jew goes to his master, I love you, my master. You're my God. I don't believe in Hashem. I believe in you. And the way I'm going to show that I love you is I'm not going to step on your threshold. Radak understands the pasuk to mean that the Jews actually converted to Digoyim, to the religion of the Pelishtim. And they follow in their custom. According to the Malbim, they didn't convert. They just took their minhagim and adapted those minhagim in corrupt Jewish practices. They lived a corrupt life. They took Judaism and they destroyed it. And they embellished a corrupt version of Judaism with practices that are that come from the Goyim.
Oh, you mean like liberals?
What?
You mean like liberal Jews?
I can't hear.
You mean like liberal Jews?
Liberal Jews.
Yeah,
I guess so. I guess something like that.
Yeah.
All right. It's good. We have all kinds of people this year. We have politicians. We have our mayor people. We have religious people. We have a collection. And we have Mark also. Mark, you just keep watching the show, Mark, right? Mark, you have a good way. All right, we're going to stop over here, take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Mashiach.
You know, it's kind of like...
Wait until we talk about Mashiach.
Rabbi Levine, it's like a Stockholm syndrome of Golos.
Roads to Mashiach. See you later.
Yeah, you heard what I said?